Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Megillah Daf Lamed Beis. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the top line of Daf Lamed Beis. Before we begin the shiur, we glance at the side where we have one of our Shas Ozer features, topic headings on the side, the Nosei, where we've written Machlikas Rabbi Meir Rabbi Huda, a Tanaic controversy. Eich linhoig be'eis shemavorchim b'shas aliyah l'torah. How should we conduct ourselves with regard to the Sefer Torah while you are making the brachas when you get an aliyah to the Torah? Tonu Rabbanan. Poseach v'royeh. You open the Torah scroll. You look in to the text of the Torah where the reading will take place. Goleil, you roll it shut, umavorech, v'chozer poseach v'kore. And when you're reciting the bracha, though, you note that the Torah scroll is rolled shut. And as after you roll it shut, you make the bracha, then you open it and read. Divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, poseach, you open it, the Torah scroll, v'roeh, note this text, umavorech, v'kore. With regard to Rabbi Huda, there's no rolling shut. While you are making the bracha, so the Torah scroll is open to the point that you are going to be reading. My time with the Rabbi Meir, what is the reason that Rabbi Meir is insistent on rolling it shut while the bracha is being recited? Kita Ula, based on a comment Ula makes in a different context, but the principle will be applied here. Diyama Ula mitnei ma omru. Why has it been said? Hakuri batura lo yisayea la meturgaman. The one who is reading the Torah text, he should not assist the other person who's standing there reciting the Targum. The Targum is the Aramaic translation / explanation of the Torah reading. The Targum, we have Targum Unkelus, for example, was something that is part of Torah Shebaal Peh, and people would do that by heart. It was known, and people would recite it by heart. The person reading the Torah should limit his activities to the reading of the Torah text. Don't help out the guy who's reciting the Targum. Kedei shelo yomru Targum kosev b'Torah. So people shouldn't think that the Aramaic is actually in the scroll. If you, as the Torah reader, who are reading from the scroll, people will think that the Aramaic, if you're helping the Aramaic translator, they're going to think that the Aramaic is actually a part of the text in the Torah scroll. And eventually people are going to come to write the Targum in the Torah. So that is the problem that arises when the one who is reading the Torah text starts doing other things. Well, Hachanami, here too, says Rabbi Meir, you should close the Torah scroll when the bracha is being recited, kedei shelo yomru, so that people shouldn't think brachos ksuvin b'Torah, that the bracha text, that the benedictions are also part of the Torah text. So therefore, once again, roll it closed, and at that point, recite the brachos. People are not going to think then that what you're saying now is in the text when the text is closed. The Rabbi Yehuda, who isn't concerned with that, what does he respond? Targum iko lemiti. As far as the Targum is concerned, there is room for people to err. People could think that the Targum is written in the Torah. Brachas leka lemiti. But as far as benedictions, everyone knows that brachas are not written in the Torah text. Omer Rabbi Zeiro, Omer Rav Matona, halocha. Poiseach, v'royeh, umevorech, v'korei. Rav Matana rules, like Rav Yehuda, that when the brachas are recited, the Torah scroll does not need to be rolled closed. The Gemara asks, like we saw at the end of our last shiur, V'leima halacha Rav Yehuda, why doesn't Rav Matana simply say that the halacha is like Rav Yehuda? Why does he spell out that which Rav Yehuda says? Just say, the halacha is like Rav Yehuda, and I know what he said. You look back in the source. The Gemara answers, Mishum da'afchi lehu, because at that time, people had confused that which Rav Yehuda says for Rebbe Meir, and that which Rebbe Meir says for Rebbe Yehuda. So if you would say, the halacha is like Rebbe Yehuda, people might think that you have to roll it close. So therefore, to prevent any misunderstanding, any mistake, Rebbe Rav Matana spelled out what you have to do. We explained in our previous year that we also decided to use a slash underlining simply to draw your attention that this piece of Gemara has a similar structure to the previous piece of Gemara, where we also at the top line used a slashed underlining to highlight this issue of Mishum da'afchi lehu. Omar Rabbi Zeira Omar Rav Matana, Haluchos v'habimos ein bohem Mishum Kedusha. The Luchos, Rashi, regarding that word, says, Lo yodati mahin. I don't know what they are. Some explain that it's something to do with books like ours that are not produced in a scroll form. Tosfos has a comment on this as well, but for our purposes, we're not going to define it. We're simply going to say that it has to do with something that's part of the shul. And Bimos, this Rashi explains, Bimos show you oisin lemelech, the Parshas HaMelech. He says it's a reference to the platform that was made for the king in the Beis HaMikdash when every 7 years there would be the Hakel ceremony where all of the Jews would get together and he would read from the Torah, as is explained in Maseches Sota. So a wooden platform was made. That's the Bimos referred to. That's according to what Rashi says. So Rabbi Zeira says they don't have sanctity. Ein bohem mishum kedusha. There's the Rosh that's brought on the side mentions that it doesn't have the high level kedusha, but it has a low level kedusha. Omar Rav Shvatya, Omar Rav Yochanan. We have a new marking. You see the triangle, and on the side under our Nosei Mivneh heading, we have a series of Memros, Shel Rav Shvatya, Omar Rav Yochanan. Comments made by Rav Shvatya in the name of Rav Yochanan, Be'inyin Glilas Sefer Torah, regarding the rolling of a Sefer Torah. And when we speak about Glilas Sefer Torah, so it involves several aspects. Today, we do something called Hagba. We raise the Sefer Torah scroll. Some communities practice that at the end of the Torah reading, some at the beginning of the Torah reading. That's one aspect of Godolin, of Glila. Then there is the basic functional rolling of the scroll. After all, it's a scroll, and it has to be, you have to change the position of the parchment, move the columns either forward or backward. That's also part of Glilas Sefer Torah. So that's one topic that some of these Rav Shvatya remarks will address. Another point he will address is Shimush Babasko, the use or the reliance upon a heavenly voice. And Limud Torah Belinima, the study of Torah without doing so with a tune. Now the Gemara. Omar of Shvatya, Omar of Yochanan, Hagilu Sefer Torah, Tzorach Shiamidenu Al Hatefer. At the end of the Torah reading, when you close the Sefer Torah, so you should close it at a point that the seam between two sheets of parchment is facing you, so that you close it, we'll say you close it on its seam. And the reason for that is that you can, there, you can fasten it well, you can make a tight closing or tight roll close, rolling it closed without worrying about tearing the parchment. V'yomer Rav Shfatya, Amar Rav Yochanan, ha-goylul sefer Torah, goyluloi mibachutz ve'en goyluloi mibifnim. Rashi explains that if you are, let us say, rolling a sefer Torah, and you are rolling it on your lap. So I certainly hope everyone knows what a sefer Torah looks like. There are two. There are two poles upon which the parchment is with the Torah content is rolled around each pole. So now, if you are alone and you have a sefer Torah on your lap, and you have to roll it, so you're going to rest the sefer Torah will be lying across your lap. You will hold the pole, which we call in Hebrew the Eitz Chaim, that is further away from you, and you will roll the Torah, maneuvering that pole. And by doing so, the Torah scroll will be prevented from rolling away from you, and that's of course a big disgrace to the Torah. If you would, however, have it resting on your lap, and you will roll the pole that is closer to you, you're risking the Torah simply rolling off your lap, and of course the disgrace that would follow. So that's what this phrase means, golulo mibachutz. You roll it maneuvering the pole that is further away from you, the outside pole, and not the one that is nearest you. Ukshu mahatko mibifnim ve'eno mahatko mibachutz. And here we're going to use the Tosfos explanation that when you tie the Torah scroll shut, today many communities have different types of clasps. The same basic principle applies, but maybe some of you still see this or remember that a sash would be wound around the Torah, and it would be tied with a bow or a knot. It would be tied shut. Now, when you make the knot, and this is what this line of Gemara means according to Tosfos, you make the knot on the side when the Torah scroll is closed at the point of the Torah that you would then open it up. Would be, we'll say, above the written part of the Torah, and not the back side of the Torah. Because if you were to do that, if you were to make the knot on the back side of the Torah, the next time you come to read the Torah, you have to lie the Torah face down, with the text facing down onto the table, and not facing up, and that's considered disgraceful. So that you have to make the knot. Mahatko is when you fasten it shut. The fastening, the knot or the clasp, should be facing you at the point that you would be opening up the text itself to read without having to flip it over upside down. The Omer of Shvatya, Omer of Yochanan, Asora Shikora B'Toro. You have Torah reading takes place with 10 people present. Hagodol shebahem goylel sefer Torah. The leading member of that group is the one that's honored with the rolling we call the hag. We today call that the hagba, the hagba of the Torah, the rolling of the Torah. Things like rolling it closed. Hagolulo notel schar kulon. And the reason we want to honor the greatest one is because the one who does that, who does the glila, the glila again is what we refer to in common jargon as the hagba, where you pick up the Torah and you show it to everybody. That's an honor that it's an honor you're bestowing to the Torah, and the one who does that is the one who gets the schar for doing so. Obviously, Rashi, the Tosfos says, Godol shebekulon goleo lefi shehu kvodo, that's the due honor to him, v'gam lefi shehu godol shebekulon kedai hu litol schar keneged kulam. And since he is the greatest of the people in that assembly, that group of people, it's fitting for him to receive this great reward that we call schar keneged kulam, kedom Rabbi Yeshua. So we continue in the Gemara. We say that the one who does this this action called goleil, notel schar kulam, he receives, and now here we're going to translate, it says he receives everyone's reward. Yomer Yeshua ben Levi, Asora Shikor b'Torah, Agirlo Sefer Torah, the one who does the goleil, kibel, schar kulam, he receives everyone's reward. So the Gemara asks, that's a strange comment. Schar kulon salkadai, when he takes away everyone's reward and keeps it for himself, he gathers everyone's reward. Eloemo, it doesn't mean that. It means kibel schar keneged kulon. His schar for doing goleil, sefer Torah, and as we're suggesting, it's that honor that we call today hagbah, where you raise the sefer Torah and roll it open and show it to everybody. That is an honor that corresponds, that's equal to the sum total of the reward everyone else receives for their individual aliyos. The Omar Rav Shvatya Omar Rav Yochanan, Minayin Shemishtamshim Bebaskoil. From where do we know that one can rely, one can use that which is told to you by a heavenly voice? Now we look in Rashi. Mishtamshim Bebaskoil Im Beliboy Lahaskil Dover. A person has in mind to start a project. Vishama koil, and he hears a voice, oi hein, oi lav, either sahain means yes, or the voice says don't, no. Holech acharav, you can follow that which you hear, v'ein kan mishum nichush, and that would not be a violation of what the Torah says, lo sinach hashu. The Torah warns against fortune telling, different types of fortune telling. Black magic for sure is off limits. Sorcery, all these behaviors that are characteristic of the occult. Of course, those are off limits. However, this thing, this phenomenon called the baskol, the heavenly voice, that's allowed. And in fact, you find throughout the Shas, baskol appears time and time again. From where do we know that you are allowed to rely on that voice? The Gemara answers, Shinemar, Ve'azenecho tishmana, Ve'aznecho tishmana, Davor me'acharecho le'mor. And your ears hear something that's coming from behind you saying whatever. And so there's this hearing of a voice. V'hani mili, now it's qualified. The Shoma Kol Gavro B'Masiva Kol Itzo B'Dabra. The voice that you're hearing would be a masculine voice if you're in a city, or a feminine voice if you're in the fields. Rashi says Kol Gavro B'Masiva Kol She'eno Motsuihu. That's unusual. Obas Kol Ba'ilov. My superficial understanding is that men were generally out in the fields working. So if you have a man's voice in town, that's unusual. Or a woman would not be found generally in the fields. And if you hear a woman's voice that's saying this yes or no, and you're in the fields and you hear a feminine voice, that would be the baskoil. And another qualification, vudomar hein hein, vudomar lav lav, that it's that whatever answer to your question is the answer is doubled. It's yes yes or no no. V'yomar Rav Shvat Yomar Rav Yochanan kol akuri b'lo ni'ima v'shoina b'lo zimra. He who reads psukim, Rashi says on ni'ima, ni'ima is a pleasantry, but Rashi says tamei amikros, if he reads psukim without the, what we call the trup, the cantillation. V'shoina b'lo zimro, he learns mishnayas without a tune. Now Tosfos points out here Vashena b'lo zimra, shoy regilin lishnois ha-mishnayas b'zimra. They used to have the custom, or they were regular in learning mishnayas with a tune, l'fi shoyu shoynin oison al peh. They used to learn the mishnayas by heart. The al yedei kach hoyu nizkorim yosrin. With the tune, they would be able to remember it better. Now, from the Tosef, it seems that this is referring to a period where that was how they were learned, that the mishnayos were not committed to writing, they were not committed to a written text. So in a situation where they're not committed to a written text, certainly you have to learn it by heart. The question comes up of when we have the mishnayos in a written text, is that which the Gemara is going to be telling us now, does it have the same impact? That is just a point of question, and as I say, it's a diuk from the Lashon of the Tosfos. So now we continue in the Gemara. He says, anyone who studies Torah that way, but it's interesting to note, with regard to the Kriyas HaTorah, there was never an issue of doing something by heart, because the written Torah is not even allowed to be recited by heart as far as the basic halacha is concerned. Like the Gemara says in Gittin Daf Samach, and also you find a reference in Maseches Tmura Daf Yudalid, that you're not supposed to recite the written text of the Torah of the Tanakh by heart. But nevertheless, there's an insistence on Rabbi Yochanan's part of it being done with the cantillation. So he who does not do so, Alof HaKosev Omer V'gam Ani Nosati Lohem Chukim Loi Toivim. This pasuk is a pasuk of chastisement, and I too will give them laws that are not good, or I will issue rulings that are not good, saith the Almighty. Maskifla Abaye. Abaye asks, could this possibly be true? Mishum delo yoda livsumi kola mishpotim lo yichubem korisle. That's the continuation of the pasuk, which says that I will issue rules that through which you will not be able to live. Because a person is lo yoda livsumi kola, sumi is to have a pleasant voice. Because a person doesn't is incapable of singing pleasantly, he is deserving of this punishment. Mishpatim lo yichyu bohem. Elo, a second approach. Kidderav Misharshia. Diyomar, Shnei Talmidei Chachomim, Hayesha Birachas. Two Torah sages that dwell in one city. V'einuchin zeh ezeh bahalocha. And are not pleasant one with regard to the other when it comes to halachic rulings. We'll say maybe we can describe them as intolerant of one another. Aleim Akosavoma, regarding that phenomenon, the pasuk says, V'gam ani nosati lohem chukim lo itoivim u'mishpotim lo yichyu bohem. And that's something to really worry about. A situation where Torah scholars are not nochen zeh lazeh. There's no problem in having different opinions. That's something that Judaism thrives on. All of Torah and Torah development is based on contesting and arguing, thrashing out issues one with the other. However, at the end of the day, there has to be mutual respect. And if that's violated, so you see what the Torah is, what the Navi has to say about that. Omar of Parnach, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Kola Oichi, Sefer Torah, Orum, Nikbar Orum. Anyone who holds a Sefer Torah, Orum, Rashi says, Beloi mitpacha soviv Sefer Torah, without a cloth around the Sefer Torah, means that we'll call it barehanded. He grabs the parchment of the Sefer Torah itself, he is to be buried unclothed. Orum Saka Daitach, really, is that the way things are to be? Elohim, or rather, say, Nikbar Orum Belo Mitzras. For grabbing the Sefer Torah barehanded, someone is buried naked without mitzvahs. The Gemara asks below, mitzvah sakadah, what that is, that such a heinous crime that he loses all his mitzvahs because he held a sefer Torah barehanded? Granted, maybe it's disrespectful to hold, to grab directly, make a direct grabbing of the parchment, but to say he loses all his mitzvahs? Hard to believe. Elo amar Abaye nikbar orum beloy oisa mitzvah. So here, Tosfos explains, beloy oisa mitzvah, yesh meforshim mitzvah sachiza. That he's buried without having the mitzvah of properly holding a sefer Torah. The kasha, the Gemara, but Tosfos asks, that's hard to understand. My Rabusa, what's the chiddush in telling me that? Pshita she'ein lo schar, kivan shlo sa mitzvah kahogen. Of course, he doesn't get the reward for holding the sefer Torah if he held it improperly. Kach pirish riva beloy oisa mitzvah she'osav oisa shah. He, for grabbing the sefer Torah, for holding the parchment barehanded without the accompanying cloth, so he loses the mitzvah that he was involved with at that time. Shim ochas sefer Torah orum v'korabo. Let us say he was holding the Torah barehanded and reading from it that way. So ein lo schar min hakriya, he won't get reward for the Torah study at that time. V'chein ochsoi legololo. Let's say he held it to roll it, o lahagio, or to check for errors, and he did so barehanded. So he's not going to get reward for those activities that otherwise are considered mitzvah activities. Avol ochsoy b'mitpachas, but one who holds it with the cloth the right way. Regarding that, we say, Tosfos continues, there's a promise of long life and wealth and honor. Omer Rabbi Yanai, we're back in the Gemara. Omer Rabbi Yanai, Brei de Rabbi Yanai, Savo, Mishmei de Rabbi Yanai, Rabo. An interesting list of names. You have several generations of Rabbi Yanai's here. And so Rabbi Yanai says, Mutov Tiglal Hamitpachas ve'al yiglal sefer Torah. In the context of our Gemara, so he is telling you that the proper way is to roll the sefer Torah with the cloth that is wrapped around it, and not to roll the sefer Torah directly. As far as what exactly is the cloth that is wrapped around it, that's something that requires much further research. I have seen, it's very uncommon, but I've seen actually a Torah scrolls that have a piece of, fabric that actually runs along the entire Sefer Torah from behind, so that when you're rolling the Sefer Torah, when you roll it closed, you're also simultaneously rolling a piece of fabric that runs along the entire Sefer Torah, so that when you need to adjust the location of Parshios in the Torah, this fabric is there all the time. Other communities that don't have that kind of Sefer Torah fabric setup, nevertheless, the practice is that one does not, one never grabs the parchment text itself, but uses some type of cloth or a talis or some other intermediary, but not barehanded. Vayedaber Moshe es moyadei Hashem el b'nei Yisrael. Mitzvoson shiu korin oison kol echod ve'echod bizmano. The Rashi explains, Vayedaber Moshe smoyed Hashem al bnei Yisrael, Moshe tikein lam Yisrael, shiu shoylem v'dorshim binyonoi shel yoyim hilchus Pesach b'Pesach hos atzeres batzeres. Moshe established this point, and this actually you'll see very shortly in the Gemara itself. We'll quote this as part of a Tanaic source. And here Rashi explains how you see from this pasuk this particular teaching. Why does it have to say, and Moshe spoke, v'chi kol ha-mitzvus kun lo amoran Moshe l'Yisrael? What, and all the rest of mitzvus Moshe didn't tell Yisrael? Ma v'yadaber Moshe's moed de'ashem el b'nei Yisrael? What's the significance of telling us that Moshe Rabbeinu taught the Jews about the holidays? So, what's significant here is melamed, the extra expression is telling Yishoyah medaberi moyim hilchus kol moyedu moyed bizmanon. He would tell the mitzvahs of each holiday at their time. Lo dia chukei alikim v'seirosov v'kiblu v'kaimu schar hamitzvahs aleihem v'albineihem bozeu baba. And Rashi points out that by doing such, by studying the mitzvahs each holiday in its appropriate time, person will merit the reward of the mitzvahs himself, for his future generations in this world and in the next. A beautiful closing comment on the part of Rashi. Now we turn to the Gemara also for its closing comment. Tonu Rabbonon, Moshe Tikkun L'Yisrael. Moshe established as a national practice, Shushoyim V'Dorshim B'Nyonei Shel Yoyim, that questions are raised and lectures are held forth on matters of the day, every day with its relevant body of law. Hilchus Pesach B'Pesach, the laws of Pesach on Pesach, Hilchus Atzeres B'Atzeres, Hilchus Chag B'Chag, and the laws of Atzeres is Shavuos, on Shavuos time, and the laws of Sukkos at Sukkos time. And what's very interesting to note is that this seems to be a halacha that is in addition to another very well-known halacha that we made reference to just very recently in our Gemara, right here in this parak, that we say shloishim yoim kodem hachag oiskim behilchus chag, 30 days before a holiday one is expected to be involved already with the laws of the holiday. So that of course that itself is a machlokas tanoim. That's the chachamim hold. Reb Gamliel says 2 weeks, and we discussed that a little bit. We touched upon that a little bit when we were discussing the timing of Parshas Shkolim, which is timed to announce the Shkolim before the new monies are collected, are used to buy public sacrifices, so that at the beginning of Adar we start discussing the Shkolim, so that you have 30 days time before the monies are then used to purchase new sacrifices. But these numbers, 30 days, 2 weeks, are also figure prominently when it comes to getting ready for the holidays, primarily Pesach, which is really the source of that halacha. So there's a 30-day preparation period. And in addition to that, you see during the holidays themselves, you see in this Gemara also the expected preoccupation with those laws. So at this point, you can see we were zeche to complete Maseches Megillah, and with the help of the Almighty, we'll be able to continue with our next Masechta. Before we conclude, let us remind you, though, that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our Shiur for today.